Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Have you ever wondered why your tiny little adorable child can make such a loud snore at night? It's one thing if we adults do it, but it's quite another when you hear your child do it. And is it something you should be worried about? My guest is Dr. Carol Marcus. She's a pediatric pulmonologist and sleep medicine physician. So, Dr. Marcus, why do children snore?
Well, there are many reasons. Snoring is very common. Many children snore just once in a while with a cold, but in fact 10% of young children snore every night. And it could be benign or it could be a sign of sleep apnea, which is more serious. So if your child snores just once in a while, it's probably a virus or something like that that I wouldn't worry too much. If it's more persistent, it could be due to allergies, sinus problems, exposure to cigarette smoke if parents are smoking in the house. But again, sleep apnea is when we really get worried about snoring. And children with sleep apnea snore every night. Usually it's loud snoring, sometimes loud enough to hear outside the room. Sometimes instead of just a mild snore, their pauses, their gasping, choking noises, and other symptoms that make us think of sleep apnea.
So if we start to notice our children snoring, Dr. Marcus, do we then put a monitor in their room and start to pay attention to those things you just described, whether it's an every night thing or whether it's just sometimes if they have allergies or a cold or any of those types of things?
You could put a monitor, but I don't think you need to go overboard. You know, most parents check in on their children before they go to sleep and just peek in there. And if you're not hearing it, you don't have to lean over your child. If you're not hearing it from the doorway, I wouldn't worry. But check in on your child once in a while. And then if you are hearing persistent snoring, the key thing is to talk to your doctor, because pediatricians often don't ask. They've got so many things they have to get through in an office visit. So bring it up with your doctor.
Now, if we do figure or assume that it's allergies or something, does it help with pillows or raising them up a little bit? Are there any of these kinds of things we would try a humidifier first before we, you know, worry that it's a sleep apnea or something along those lines and rush off to our doctor? Are there some things that we can try first to see if we can get it to go away?
So if it's something like allergies, it should be seasonal, happening just once in a while, whenever, if your child's allergic to pollen, you'll see it in the spring, whatever. Again, if it happens every night, it's more of a concern. So humidifiers help if it's during really dry weather. Give your child an antihistamine if that's something they take anyway. As far as different pillows, if they're allergic to feathers that you've got a down pillow, that would be a problem. Normally, though, buying these hypoallergenic things, etc., doesn't make much of a difference. Normally in kids there's something else going on if it's persistent loud snoring. But stop the cigarette smoking. That will definitely help.
That would definitely help. What about stuffed animals? I know this sounds weird, but a lot of kids, and my daughter included, sleep with a lot of stuffed animals.
Sure.
And you know, these things collect dust and dander, and then sometimes I'll hear her breathing loud, and we'll take all the stuffed animals away and kind of clean them off a bit, put them back, and I don't always hear that.
Certainly, anything that collects dust could make allergies worse. Many of these stuffed animals are machine washable, and it's a good idea to do once in a while. Or put them around the bed, not into the bed. They may or may not let you do that.
Well, that's true. I mean, kids certainly have their, you know, routines that they like. Can children's snoring be linked to behavioral problems?
Yes. And now, it's rather controversial if snoring alone or snoring with sleep apnea leads to behavioral problems. There's no doubt, I think, that if you snore as a sign of sleep apnea, you could have behavioral issues. Some studies suggest snoring alone, but there are flaws with all of those studies, so I think the jury is still out on that.
Okay, I mean, because sleep apnea, you know, we hear about that in adults. And I understand that, you know, kids and sleep medicine, what an amazing new field. Now, are you seeing more children snoring and children with sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea is far more common in kids than people realize. Studies show that about 2% of otherwise healthy, normal young children have sleep apnea. And now that we're seeing an obesity epidemic in children in this country, we're seeing it even more commonly. And of course, children who have other special issues like Down syndrome are even more prone. But about 2% of otherwise healthy children have sleep apnea. So if the snoring is associated with labored breathing, you look at your child asleep and they look like they're working hard to breathe, you should absolutely talk to your doctor. If your child sleeps in the daytime and they're getting enough sleep at night, that's an issue. If they have behavioral issues, of course, there are many, many reasons for children to have behavioral issues, but that combined with snoring could be another sign. Bedwetting, if your child was dry for a while and toilet trained and now has started bedwetting again, and really kids can even wake up with a headache. That's a real danger sign if they're waking up with a headache.
Now, children and sleep apnea, there are certain factors that can contribute to that, right? You mentioned obesity, and it's been shown lately more and more in the media, Dr. Marcus, that sleep problems and problem sleeping can be linked directly to obesity, that they're kind of going together, and people that are getting less sleep tend to be more obese, whether it's melatonin we're not getting. What about in children? You're seeing this link also with sleep problems and obesity.
That's true. So children not getting enough sleep are more likely to be overweight.
So,
and also, if you are overweight or obese, that's going to put you at risk for sleep apnea.
Okay, now what about things like gastroesophageal reflux? Is GERD a contributing factor to sleep apnea? Or if your child, if you know that they suffer from certain allergies or asthma, you know, are these kinds of things also contributing factors?
Yes and yes. Reflux in little babies can contribute to sleep apnea. Although they can be associated in older children, it's not as much of an issue. The biggest reason in young children, and by young in this case I mean less than adolescents, is big tonsils and adenoids. And all children have bigger tonsils and adenoids than adults, and it eventually shrinks. But some children are just more prone to big tonsils. Now, having said that, not every child with big tonsils has problems. It's a combination of the size of the tonsils and a number of things like your muscle tone. You know, when you go to sleep, just like the muscles in your arms, their legs go floppy, the muscles holding your throat open go floppy. Some children just have better muscle tone than others, so they could have big tonsils, but they compensate by having great muscle tone, whereas others don't.
And we're going to talk about treatments in another segment, Dr. Marcus, but suppose you bring your obese child into your doctor and you know that apnea is a problem. Is the first line of defense going to be trying to get to the behavioral root or the obesity problem in your child? And do asthma medications help with this as well?
So a lot of children with sleep apnea have asthma as well. So obviously we always want to treat the asthma, but that's unlikely to cure the sleep apnea. If your child is obese, losing weight will definitely help, but we know that it takes a long time to lose weight. It's really hard to lose weight. Sometimes the weight comes back up, so we can't rely on that as the only treatment. We need to have other more definitive treatments as well, which we could talk about now or later.
Well, yes, and we certainly will, but so once we figure this out, how do you diagnose sleep apnea in children? Because I know in adults you can do, you know, sleep studies, they can come. Do you do that with children as well?
Absolutely. That is by far the most reliable way to diagnose sleep apnea, and kids tolerate it even better than adults. You know, children sleep through anything. You could pick it to your old up if they fell asleep in the car, carry them inside and put them to bed without them waking up. So they actually tolerate sleep studies really well. And what a sleep study involves is putting a lot of stickers on the child to measure their breathing, to measure their brain waves, their oxygen. Nothing hurts, no needles, no medicines. Most labs have the parents stay there with the child as well. So it's a non-invasive test that will tell you definitively whether or not your child has sleep apnea.
Wow, that is so interesting, and you're right. Children can sleep through anything, and we all remember the times of picking up our children and putting them into the bed, and they don't even really move. So you are listening to Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole, and this is Healthy Children, and you can get more information on the consumer website for the American Academy of Pediatrics at healthychildren.org. Stay tuned. There's more show coming up.